This is a Mont Bold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
We have a God who wants to speak and is speaking. God is not silent. In my experience, mostly when I'm not hearing the voice of God, it's something in my heart that is blocking hearing His voice. And it's usually something to do with my unbelief. That I'm believing a lie about who God says that I am. Because the father of lies has been lying to us and continually lies to us. In John 8, it's when Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, he says, you're believing the father of lies. He's not talking about our father in heaven. He's talking about Lucifer. Perfect timing. And I mean that. Because Evie running in the room, who does she want? She wants Dad. Daddy. I want Daddy. I want Daddy. I want my Dad. It's really interesting because when Pam came and spoke to me this week and said, I want to do a guided prayer and this is what I'm thinking about doing in worship, she had no idea of the scripture that God had placed on my heart. And I was going in a totally different direction until I came in here and I spent half an hour sitting on the floor right here going, God, what do you want for us this week? And God spoke to my heart and said, you're to speak on my sheep, hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. My sheep know my voice. Have you ever been in a crowded room with a group of kids? And you mums will know this better than anybody. And maybe it's in a group where there's 5 or 6 or 10 babies. Your child cries, you know it's your child. If another child cries, you know it's not yours. Because a mother and a child are instinctively connected. A mother knows the sound of her child's voice before they can even speak. Instinctively. And that is the kind of closeness that God is wanting with you and with me. Karen, your message from last Sunday was extraordinary. If you weren't here, go on our website, listen to it. It is absolutely brilliant. But in there, Karen referenced the story of the prodigal son. And the older son had access to everything. If you remember from her message, she talked about how the father gave to both sons their inheritance. One took it, blew it, and had to come back and was reinstated. The other one was always reinstated, but never knew he had it. So he worked and he earned and he did everything he could to try and get this intimate relationship that he so deeply desired, but it was already there in front of him and it was a gift. So in John chapter 10, and you've got to remember the context of this, is that Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees. Most of you probably know who the Pharisees were, but for those of you who don't, the Pharisees were the religious leaders of the day, and the way it worked, if you wanted to become a Pharisee, if you wanted to become that, you had to be the elite academically. You were the best of the best. You could quote the Torah. You could quote the prophetic literature. You knew this stuff here. They would have been able to quote from a platform every single prophecy about the Messiah. And yet they missed him standing right next to him. And Jesus in this passage in John chapter 10 turns to the Pharisees and said, I tell you the truth. Whoever sneaks over the wall of the sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. And he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them. I should have got it downloaded, but if you look up on YouTube, shepherds leading the sheep. There is multiple visions of it, but the one I saw of it this week was a shepherd in Jordan leading his flock of about 20 or 30 sheep. Now, anyone who's worked with sheep here in Australia, they're a nightmare. They go every direction but the direction the way that they want. And our way of herding sheep in Australia is to have a dog or a motorbike or things nipping at their heels going, go and get that way. But the way the shepherds do it is radically different. Now, I've never been to Israel, but I know people who have, and they said it's fascinating watching the shepherds out in their fields with their sheep. Anyway, to get to this point, this shepherd is leading a group of 20 or so sheep. Why you would be doing it, I have no idea. But across, it'd be like going, trying to get across Canterbury Road. Cars everywhere, running up and down, going in all sorts of directions. And the shepherd's out the front, the sheep are all behind him, and he's just talking to them. And he leads them out, they step out, one goes to go a bit too far, he just goes, no, back. Back it goes. And he leads these 20 sheep across the road. The sheep know that their shepherd is going to keep them safe. They know the voice of their shepherd. Church, do we know the voice of our Father? Do you intimately know the voice of their Father? I've been around church world often enough, and I have to guess there might be one or two of you that are going, gee, are we going all new agey with that stuff that we just did? That sounds very much meditative kind of stuff. That doesn't sound like God. I want to tell you this morning that the scripture says we meditate on the word of God, and what we meditate on we become. So the enemy can only ever imitate. He cannot create. And so he has stolen what is meant to be a gift for us as the body of Christ and turned it into a distortion. We are meant to meditate on him. We're not meant to empty ourselves away from ourselves and then have nothing. We're meant to empty ourselves of ourselves so we can be full of him. That takes effort. That takes commitment. That takes time. Most of you know that last week was my wedding anniversary. I went away with one goal in my mind. Is that I wanted to celebrate and I wanted to spend time with my bride. And I can guarantee you, from the Monday that we got down to Lake's Entrance through to the Sunday where we left, because we spent time together. It probably helps that Shell's love language is quality time. We walked 60, 70 kilometres. We enjoyed nature. We picked up shells. We ate great food. But we spent time. And we were closer by the end of that week than what we were when we got there on the Monday. Remarkably closer. Because we spent time. How much time do you spend in listening to your Father's voice? God woke me up in the middle of the night and said, you need to get rid of that game off your phone. Okay. It was robbing me of spending time with the Father. And we've all got distractions. What are the things that get in and try and rob us? What are the things, think about a marriage relationship. What are the things that cause a distance in a relationship? Conflict, offense, not getting my own way, not sharing my heart completely, being a bit protective of my own heart. You want to quickly put up a distance in your relationship? Put a protection around your heart from being hurt again. It works in the fact that your heart is protected, but it won't work for if you want an intimate relationship and if you want to be close. You've already talked about celebrating an anniversary. We can either do it and be a celebration, or it can be just another day on the calendar. I remember my dad, I don't know whether he did this on purpose or not, but I remembered it. He bought a doormat home for my mum for a wedding anniversary. Now, I don't know whether he intentionally did it as a gift or not, but he brought it home on that day. Let me say, a distance happened that day between my mum and dad. You know, one of the things that, well, there's many things that get in there, because remember, and in this same passage of Scripture in John chapter 10, it says, the thief comes to rob, steal, and destroy. That's his mission statement. And he doesn't stop. If you're having a bad day, he turns up the heat. If you're having a bad year, he's got it turned up to 11. For those Spinal Tap fans. It's probably all gone over everybody's head, I don't know. But he turns up the heat. Because if there's a crack, if there's a way of being able to get us distracted, think about it in our marriages. There is one of the biggest attack on is on families and on identity and those things at the moment. You get a bit of an offense between me and Shell, he goes after it like it's like a dog with a bone. And that's why we have to keep our heart in check. And as the body of Christ, we need to be protecting and looking out for each other. And we need to be going, is there anything in my heart that might be damaging my brothers and sisters, that might be doing damage to the kingdom of God actually appearing here? Brothers and sisters, I say this in love, but if you come into this place and you have a critical spirit, if you are critical of what is happening in this place in any way, shape, or form, that is far more dangerous than if a witch was to walk through this door and place a curse on us. Because it's imploding within the body of Christ. We are to build up one another. We are to encourage one another. If there is things in our heart, where to go and deal with it. What does it say? If you've got a problem with your brother and sister, go and deal with it with your brother and sister. Don't let it take root. Because when it takes root, I can guarantee you the religious spirit will grab hold of it and we won't even realize that we're being controlled by it. I say this as someone who is unfortunately been influenced that way in the past. And I don't ever want to be influenced that way ever again. I grew up in the religious system where the religious spirit was, I'm right, you're wrong. Oh, brothers and sisters, may we never, ever, ever, ever do that to each other. It will be the quickest way this place falls apart. And don't worry, the enemy wants it to fall apart. But the Father wants to bring a church that is so intimately connected with His voice, that we're so, because we know we are loved by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who spoke everything into existence, loves us, knows everything about you, and still His love is so deep, so wide, so magnificent that you'll never fully understand it. But oh, may we have our eyes firmly, turn our eyes upon Jesus, because we need to know His voice, we need to seek His voice amongst all things. We do have a world where there is an enemy of our soul, wanting to rob, steal, and destroy. There's an enemy outside of us wanting to do it. May we never, ever partner with something that actually is going to implode from the inside. And brothers and sisters, if you know anything about church history, you know that we've been really good at doing it. We really have. But we should be the most loving and the most incredible because we have got our eyes firmly focused on the One and we know His voice. How do we do that? Well, there's lots of examples. But one of the examples that came to mind is that if I want to know what a counterfeit $50 note looks like, then I better know what the real thing looks like. So for people, and I was talking with Karen about that example, she goes, yeah, that's what we were trained when she used to work at Woolies. We would be given a $50 note and you would each currency, and you have to actually study it and know it. Because then when something isn't authentic, it stands out. For what a principle of God's kingdom. If all we do is keep our eyes firmly focused on Him and we don't listen to the lies and the accusation of the enemy, when the enemy does lie, we recognize it because we're hanging out with truth. We've got our eyes so firmly focused on the Father that when a lie or a distortion comes along, we go, no, that's not true. Just ignore it. We have power over it. And I think I've shared the story where God said to me one day, you've got more faith in your capacity to sin than my capacity to overcome sin. Oh, that's not good. In the same conversation, he said, because when you've got your eyes on your sin and your brokenness and all the things, well, you're not putting your eyes on the one who's actually overcome those things. And because God does everything in relationship, everything. It was relationship from the beginning, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, perfect union. He wants his body to do everything in relationship. Will that mean that someday, if we're pursuing a close and safe and loving relationship, that Deb may need to bring some correction to me because she sees some distortion? Who knows? We've all got blind spots. Every single one of us. My heart relationship with Deb, whether I'm actually connected relationally or whether I'm managing a disconnection, will actually be the determining factor as to whether I'm going to listen. So the only way you can have an intimate relationship is by proximity, being close, being really close. See, what used to happen when the disciples used to, when a disciple of a rabbi, they would travel around in little packs. So let's say I was the rabbi and I had a group of 10 or 12 disciples. Handpicked because they were the best of the best. They knew the Torah. They could quote the prophetic literature. They were academic. They were eager to learn. And so you would see the rabbi walking around and he would have 12 or so little followers. And there's a saying that said, being covered in the dust of your rabbi. And it was because they had to walk so closely, they didn't have microphones, they didn't have those things, that they would walk and the dust would come off the rabbi's feet and would cover them. If we're walking that close with our Father, the lies of the enemy are not going to get a chance to penetrate. The things that we begin to believe about ourselves that the enemy has planted there will drop away because we're only listening to his voice. The enemy says, you're a dirty, rotten sinner. Oh, but Father, what do you say? Oh, you're a son. You're fully holy because of my son's work on the cross. You are righteous. Oh, Father, how do I live like that? Well, you stop believing the lies, the unbelief, the things that get in. And you know what? If each of us are doing that side by side, not only will we be closer to him, but we'll become closer to each other. Had an example of what this looks like, and this is a slightly bizarre, well, I don't know. Maybe it's not a bizarre illustration, I don't know. Those of you who know me well know I love my dogs. But I've got a certain black one that's a pain in the... Yeah. And this little black one has a desire to get in and eat the chook food. Now, I am known as someone who doesn't do handyman stuff very well. In fact, Shell, if I fix something, it's kind of surprising. And so I thought I'd sealed up this pen well, but I hadn't. my dog got in and terrorised the chooks. Amazingly, they're still alive. I've got the most resilient chooks in the world. I don't know how. Anyway, because he did attack them a little bit as well, but I think more to play with them than to do anything else. Anyway, I was cranky with him, really cranky with him. And he did everything he could to get my attention, to be sweet and nice. But I was cranky. I banished him. He wasn't even allowed down into the unit. The next morning, I went up into the house, and because we've got a unit and a main house. And he's there, and he's wagging his tail, and he's looking at me, but looking at me with these eyes going, "Do you love me? I love you." And then he had little sleep marks down here. It almost looked like he'd been crying. It was kind of cute. Well, it was cute because he got my heart again. But it's you come to my place, and everywhere I go, I have a black shadow. He's my dog. Molly, our other dog, is Michelle's dog, and it's the same with her. If I walk out of one house and the other one, he's there. If I go in the backyard, he's there. If I sit on the couch, he's there. And as I reflected on that this week around, if my sheep hear my voice, God wants us to be like that with him. And the difference is, he will never banish us. He will never say, "Oh no, that's too hard for me." He will correct, he will discipline, he will grow me and you. But he will never tire of you going, "Dad, I need you. Dad, what do I do now? Dad, can we go do something together? Dad, I don't know how to love my wife well. Can you teach me? Dad." He wants that kind of relationship with us. And he will speak. Because in return, he's going to be, "Son, daughter, I love you. Just do this. Just sit still and worship me in my presence. Let me do what I need to do. Take your fingerprints off it." That's it. It's almost like she's prophetic. She just knows. Daddy. Daddy. Constantly. And then the beautiful thing is, it says in the Word that if we spend time with the Father, he will reveal the mysteries of the kingdom. You want to be entrusted with the mysteries of the kingdom. You want to be entrusted to see miracles, signs, wonders. You want to see knees healed, ears healed, eyes opened. You want to see those things. He will spend time with him and he'll tell you how to do it. Don't go the other way. Don't go, "I've got to go out there and pray for 100 people. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. I've got to..." No, just be with the Father and then join him and go out and do it with him. Because he says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." If your mission is burdensome, you're doing it on your own. You are meant to be transformed from glory to glory. We are meant to becoming more and more like our Father. And so as we keep our eyes on Dad, listen to his voice, be transformed. I want to encourage you, spend more time sitting there just in worship. Because the more we gaze on his beautiful face, the more the things on earth become strangely dim. So, brothers and sisters, as we go on a journey of in this sonship, learning what it is to be the sons and daughters of God, to know that we wear His ring, that we're clothed in His garments, may we not be like the older brother who doesn't realize the inheritance that's right in front of him. Because we miss it. Because we get offended at each other, or we get critical of each other, or we begin to believe lies about ourselves, or we begin to do those things. Have you ever noticed, and I'm going to finish with this point, on that same night that our dog got in, Michelle and I were having a conversation afterwards, and how quickly we begin to believe the lies of the enemy. For me, I'm crap at fixing things. I'm no good at doing these things. I always try to do something and make it worse. All these thoughts started to bombard my mind. And I realized what I was doing was, in that moment, I was running away from my Father's voice and I was isolating myself from Him. And Shell was having a similar thing where she, and what it did was actually it put a bit of a thing between us. So any time you feel like you are pulling away and isolating yourself from your brothers and sisters in Christ, check your heart. What's going on? Are you offended? Is there something happening? Is there something you need to work through so that you can be restored to the Father but also restored to each other? Because the two go hand in hand. They just do. It's the way He's created us. When my knee goes, the rest of my body goes out of alignment. I dislocated my knee many times, but I can guarantee I'll have a sore hip, my upper neck will be gone, and I'll be walking and I'll be just like that, and I'll have to go to the osteo to get all straightened back up again. It's the same thing in the body of Christ, as if we let anything. Proverbs says, don't let the little foxes in. Guard your hearts above all things. Does it mean we'll always get it right? No. It just means we need to be quick to forgive, quick to restore. And we're not meant to have a relationship at arm's length. We're meant to be close and have proximity. Because you cannot have a relationship with God at arm's length. You can't. It's impossible. That's called religion. Because even in John 17, that famous passage that I always refer to is, they will be one as we are one. He wants closeness. And He wants closeness in our most intimate relationships right through the whole church. And not just here, across the body of Christ. So learn to celebrate one another. Learn to reconcile quickly. Learn to do those things. Have I arrived? No way. I've still got a long lot to learn. But I can guarantee you I'm sold out for this. I'm sold out. And I want to be one who does the Father's business because I hear His voice. And I want each of you to be the same. To hear His voice. For yourself and for each other, to know the love and the acceptance and the comfort of His voice. It's magnificent. So may we become a little bit like my dog Mater with God. Every step, being aware of His presence. Whether it's on the work site for you, Wayne, whether it's doing what any of us do, stay close to the Father. Because anything outside of that, opens us for distortion and opportunities. Even today, we've got celebrations among us. We've got a 40-year wedding anniversary with Peter and Josie. Congratulations, guys. It's Danny's birthday. Happy birthday, Danny. Get to know each other's stories. Get to know, celebrate, and all of those things, because it's so important. One of the things that I would really love to do, there's a new movie called Jesus Revolution coming out. And I'd love to get a group of us to go to the movies together. To go see Jesus Revolution. It's a story about the Jesus Revolution of the 60s and 70s. I don't think it's any coincidence it's being released now, because I think there's a new Jesus Revolution, a revolution of love, as I've declared before, is happening and is going to be outpoured like we've never seen it before. But if you're keen to come along to the movies, let me know. Either, you know, just who would be keen for a group outing? All right, looks like we could do something. Awesome. I'll see what we can do. I know they're going to be screening it at Village. I don't know if we could get, I don't know whether the Sanctuary are going to do it. It'd be cool if they were, and we might even be able to book out Cameo and do it there or something like that. I don't know. I know there's a group in Bendigo that are doing it, and they've got that many people coming, they can get 2 hours afterwards, and they're having a worship service in the cinema after the movie. That's New Nature Church in Bendigo. If I had a big bus, I'd go, let's all jump on that and go join that, because that'd be a lot of fun. It's a Thursday night in a couple of weeks. But there was enough interest on that, so Karen, there's a job for us to do, see if we can organise a screening or of something like that. So I think it could be a great thing to do. Get to know each other. Have people in your homes. Share God stories. I want to see small groups grow in the church. I want to see that. If you'd like to lead a small group, come and see me. Let's talk it through what that would look like, so that we can begin to share those things. Share our stories. Keep pointing each other. Keep encouraging. Get before Jesus. Listen to his voice. Because you all matter. And we are not in a time where it's about the pastor at the front. It is the priesthood of all believers. And you all have a role. All have a part to play. I'm just called to lead here. And I am growing in that. I'm still learning what it looks like to lead. But I can tell you the paradigm that I am learning to lead in is that God is calling myself and Michelle to be the mum and dad of this community. The spiritual mum and dad. No doubt about it. That's not an elitist thing or anything like that. It's just saying, I want to see you as God's kids shine. There is no greater joy this week than seeing my boy come back through and come back with stories of God encounters. And he's gone further and experienced more in some of those areas than I have. Oh, what joy it brings. That my boy Isaac is on the streets of Melbourne playing drums and people are coming to Christ. Oh. And I can tell you that when I hear the stories and your testimonies of what God's doing in your heart, I feel the same way about you. I may not have quite the same intensity as about my own boys, but I believe that we are called, and the next move is a move of family, where we've got each other's backs. And Michelle and I are called to be a mum and dad in this nation. We're still learning what that looks like. We're still overcoming some of our own fears and our own lies and things that we believe. But that is our call. To see sons and daughters be raised up, and we see a multiplication. I want to see this place full of the sons and daughters of God. I want to see this place full of people who didn't know they were sons and daughters that now know they are. Full. But I can't do that alone. I need you. We need to do it together in partnership. I I know you need to leave at about 12, but I've finished early today. Miracles can happen. Can we have some keys? I just want to take, what I would like to do is I'd like to take, I want to make you uncomfortable. 10 minutes. And if Pam can just play some quiet music behind that, I want you to spend 10 minutes just quietly seeking the heart of your Father. You know, the quietness and solitude and time is actually a gift, and we don't manage it well. We're too busy to try and fill those spaces with our words. So I'm going to take up till 10:02. And then what I want to do is I want to invite the whole worship team to come up. And that first song we sang is all about dancing and coming together and those things. Absolutely no pressure, but I would love a group of us to be up the front and let's sing together passionately. Let's dance together. Let's enthusiastically worship our God to finish our time this morning. Lifting a shout of praise. If you're a dancer, dance. If you like, you want flags, we've got them, but I can open up the door and we can get the flags out of there if you want flags. But let's worship the God together. If you think you're sitting next to someone who's going to distract you and you need to move away to a quiet place, do that. Just go find a spot. There's pen and paper up the back for you to write stuff down. Maybe God will show you in picture. For Trish, quite often God turns up with a fragrance and she smells the fragrance of God. Beautiful. I have smelled it before. It's pretty amazing. But Trish, there's a gift that God's given to Trish just recently. So Father God, right now we want to quiet ourselves before you. Father, if there is any critical spirit in me, if there is any spirit of religion in me, if there is anything that is actually blocking me from an intimate relationship with you, will you reveal it so that we can be dealt with and we can hand it to you so that I can be close to you? May that be our prayer as a church community this morning. As your sons and daughters, we want to know you. We want to know your voice and we want to know the security of being loved, completely loved, by the God of the universe.
Thanks for listening, and please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.